we supposed to get married?
I'm going
to
just swipe
I just want somebody to share my life.
I'm being treated like I'm some sort of wheelchair grandmother that's gone to Magaluf and picked up a waiter.
You can keep waiting for the fairy tale, or you can get on board with the new rules of relationships. If you've read my advice in the LA Times, then you know this ain't your mama's love advice. This is Dates and Mates with Damona Hoffman. Hello, lovers. I'm your certified dating coach, Damona Hoffman, and this show is presented by TextNow, my most recommended app to smart daters who want to give out their number to matches but need a safe way to do it. You can get a free second phone number to use just for dating when you download the TextNow app. So, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you feel like Rapunzel right now? Sitting in your house day and night, finding little hobbies to keep you busy while you dream of the outside world, and watching your hair grow longer and longer with each passing day. If you can get a haircut where you live, I don't know. But there is a little Rapunzel in all of us right now while we wait for fresh air and a little freedom and maybe for the perfect match to appear in our lives. But here's the question. If your perfect match showed up at your doorstep tomorrow, what would you do? Well, for my guest today, fashion icon and Bravo TV star Caroline Stanbury, there was no question. When her super hot Prince Charming appeared in her life right as lockdown happened, they made the decision to move in together and see where the relationship went from there. Kind of wild, right? Especially considering she had been married and divorced with three kids, and considering her new man was much younger than she was. Stick around because Caroline will tell us exactly how that love experiment turned out. But first, I need to get you up to speed on these headlines. Should you shoot your shot like Lizzo? We'll tell you what's going down in the DMs. And your relationship intentions are written all over your face. We'll tell you how to avoid a hookup artist. Then, in Dear Damona, I'll answer your questions. We have some juicy ones today. Y'all are going in deep. We have, should you divorce your husband if he won't stop smoking pot? And how to date when you're an American in a foreign city and guys won't take you seriously? And I'm bringing in my friend, Jessica Fass, who is an international matchmaker, to help me out on that question. All that and more on today's Dates and Mates. And now it's time to dish.
D's dating dish.
Well, you've heard me say before, but it is true. It is going down in the DMs. It's funny because I do work with a few celebrity clients, and I've had to tell them, like, y'all, it's if you like another celebrity, just DM them. You got to be following each other. Get up in that DM and see what's what. But I was not coaching Lizzo at the time when she sent a drunken DM to who? Chris Evans. So here's what she sent. It's actually pretty cute. She sent three emojis, a wind blowing emoji, a woman playing basketball, and one of a basketball. And while she didn't explain her emojis of choice, many believe it was her way of saying she was shooting her shot. Clearly, that it's very clever and very cute. She's 32 years old, so, you know, she does the DMs all right. But turns out she was a little bit tipsy, and she later regretted sending it and said to everyone, don't drink and DM, which I will co-sign. Do not drink and DM. But for a couple days, she didn't hear back from Chris Evans. But then recently, she posted her response. And Chris, he like totally upped the ante. Do you remember, by the way, do you remember what happened with Chris in the DMs? Or was it an Instagram story? I don't know. We covered it on the show. There was a little something that slipped out of the cloud with him a couple months ago. He said to her, no shame in the drunk DM. God knows I've done worse on this app. LOL, facepalm emoji. I would like to draw attention to the excellent use of emojis in this DM exchange. You've heard me say on this show before that emojis are mood modifiers. They can be used as substitutes for words. I prefer to do that as you know someone a little bit better, but this was such a cute way, such a cute opening for Lizzo, and she got Chris to follow her back. So it's not all wasted. Maybe something can unfold there. I'm rooting for the two of them. And I think, look, Chris Evans, if you're listening, just go out with her. Just give her a shot. She's super talented. She's obviously very clever, and you never know what might unfold. So if you're wondering, definitely shoot your shot in the DMs. Just don't do it drunk. As you are thinking about shooting your shot in the DMs, if you're on a dating app, there is an excellent way to tell if someone's intentions are aligned with yours. We got a hold of this interesting study out of Macquarie University in Australia. I probably butchered the name of that university, so I apologize to all of my Australian listeners, but you gotta hear what is inside this study. So they took a small sample of men and women around the age of 20, and they photographed them. And then they had them fill out a socio-sexuality orientation inventory. What the heck does that mean? I'm glad you asked. It is basically a statement of their openness to casual, uncommitted sexual relationships. Okay, again, I'll simplify. It's basically, are you looking for hookups? Are you looking for a relationship? And then they showed men and women the pictures of their possible dates and said, can you tell, is this person looking for a hookup or is this person relationship minded? And it turns out women were really great at telling if a man was just interested in hookups, but men were not so great at reading the opposite. So then they took a step back and were like, okay, is this something about, like, are women just more intuitive? Are women just figuring this out? Or are men particularly bad at this? What if we had AI? Like, what if artificial intelligence, machine learning, whatever you want to call it these days, what if we had a computer try to examine the same things and see if they could find a pattern? Guess what? The AI could, at the same rate as women, tell if somebody was interested in a hookup or a relationship. What? And then they had to say, okay, then there's clearly something, there's some signifier here on men's faces that's not necessarily on women's faces that tells possible dates that they are hookup potential versus relationship potential. And what they concluded is that it's testosterone. Higher levels of testosterone are associated with more masculine looking facial features, you know, like the chiseled jaw and the cheekbones and all that. And also male typical behavior, sorry guys, like interest in short-term uncommitted relationships. And because testosterone plays a smaller role in female development, that explains why that information wasn't necessarily present in the women's faces. So this is just blowing my mind. And I know there are dating apps and there are matchmaking companies that use facial recognition software to kind of map out your prior relationships. You kind of give them your past relationship pictures and they try to predict who you'll be attracted to based on similar facial features. But this is totally different. This is telling if somebody is interested in the same things you're interested in based on their facial mapping. And I think this is something that we'll be seeing incorporated into dating apps. And if I can teach y'all how to harness this and how to tell what those factors are, I think it will save a lot of people a lot of drama. Those are the headlines for today. If you're thinking about shooting your shot on the DMs, you got to get the matches. You got to get the dates, and you can read all about how to draw in those possible dates for you to match with through my free profile starter kit. You can find plug and play profile templates that can be adapted for any dating app, writing prompts. Maybe you get writer's block. You don't know how to write about yourself. These are the ones that have led to winning profiles for my clients in the past. And there's a short, easy to follow video guide on how to choose the right profile photos. All of that is available for you for free at datesandmates.com. We'll be back in just a moment with my guest, Caroline Stanbury. Stick around. We're back, and I'm super excited to be here with Caroline Stanbury. She is a fashion icon, star of Bravo TV's Ladies in London, and she's also the host of Divorced Not Dead, a fabulous podcast, and she's an all-around fabulous person. I was on her show recently, and then I was like, oh, my listeners need to hear from Caroline. She has been making headlines all over the world, all over her life. And she's been documented in relationships with a lot of famous people. Hugh Grant, Prince Andrew, to name a few. But she's here to talk today about how she found love after a very high-profile divorce and during a global lockdown at the same time. All right, please help me give big smooches to my guest, Caroline Stanbury.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Oh, thank you for being here. You're out there living your best life.
You're still traveling.
Tell me, where are you in the world right now?
I'm in Greece. I'm in Athens. I'm actually on my 7th day of quarantine. So it was the first day I was allowed out, on my way to the UK.
Oh my gosh. I dream of being quarantined somewhere as fabulous as that. But it's interesting as you're bringing up quarantine, because you're in kind of a unique position, Caroline, that I think a lot of my listeners are curious about, because you found love in the midst of quarantine. A lot of people know you from Ladies of London and know that you recently had a divorce, but you found love again and fairly quickly. How did it unfold for you?
I did. I mean, I didn't find Sergio in my house in quarantine. So let's put that out there for all of you sitting at home going, why didn't your Sergio arrive at the door? That didn't quite happen. We met before. And what quarantine did for us was sped up the process. Because, and I've read a lot of stories about this, you know, in quarantine, you're in or you're out, right? You have to get in the house or get out the house. And he came to see me. It was the time they were closing all the borders, and he had to make a decision. You know, if he'd left the to Spain and gone home, he wouldn't have been able to come back to see me for at least 6 to 8 months. I mean, even now, I couldn't have gone there. I can't go there. You have to be a Spanish national. So he just said, I'm in, I'm going to stay. And, you know, West, I think we were looking beforehand to sort of have our own apartments or houses. You know, he was looking at houses to live in, all of this kind of stuff. When that happened, you know, obviously he couldn't even get his own apartment, because then I wouldn't have seen him either. You know, curfew, you weren't even allowed out. So he moved straight in. And again, so I made decisions that maybe not hindsight, but in normal life, you wouldn't have done. You'd have gone, you'd introduce them slowly to your children. You'd say, come over, you know, 3 times a week, maybe you come and stay in the house. You know, all of these things that you think about in ridiculous ways, by the way, and you sort of put parameters on new relationships, that was blown out the water. I didn't get to do any of that. He just moved straight in.
I imagine that came with a lot of challenges, but
yes.
What were some of the positives that you think did accelerate the relationship and bring you closer together?
Well, I mean, everything comes with challenges, but you know, what I've understood and learned, I think, through this is that if you give people too much time to not question it, but like a lot of people do things like family meetings, they try and make it easier by involving everybody and going, you know, what do you think? How would this make you feel better if you were involved in it somehow? Or how can mommy make this easier on you? Rather than just stating the facts, like this is happening, and not in a total shocking way, but like this is happening. It's just not a choice, you know? And I've understood that a lot of women sort of pause their happiness in for their family. So I know women who have literally put their whole lives on hold. You know, they don't see their boyfriends during the week. They only see them on weekends because they've got the kids in the week. You know, how does that work? You know, you can't really have this amazing connection that I think Sergio and I, the positive is that we were thrown into such, and by the way, with the age difference, can you imagine, you know, most of his friends are out in nightclubs with, you know, 20-year-old girls. He's at home with 3 kids. In the middle of quarantine, who need homeschooling too? Like, if he was going to run, that would have been the time. So,
well, since you brought it up, though, there is a bit of an age gap between the two of you. How many years?
18.
18 years. So for
whole human, big human.
Yeah, it could be, but at the same time, it's you've managed to build a connection with one another. And I'm sure there's a lot of people listening. Like, it's not that uncommon, Caroline, for a man to be with a woman who's, you know, 10 or 20 years younger.
Are you kidding me? Every LA hotspot.
I know, it's I live in LA, so.
Yes. I mean, what are you talking about? We're considered, no one would look at me in LA. No one.
Stop
I'm
it.
Too old.
That's not true.
It's
no, you're
true.
Gorgeous, and of course they would. But I'm really curious, like, what people, what you've seen and heard as you embarked on this relationship. I imagine that people said different things than they would have said if you were the guy and he was the girl and it was reversed.
100%. I got so much shit for it. And some of it I find, you know, I find funny, and other bits I find really insulting. Because as you said, I don't think I look that bad, but I am being treated in a way like I'm some sort of wheelchaired grandmother that's gone to Magaluf and picked up a waiter. You know, literally, you know, those women that go and there's the young boy waiters that want their English passport. I mean, you know, Sergio, as I've said before, he played soccer for 7 years for Real Madrid. He has a master's. He has a degree. He has a choice. You know, he wasn't destitute and looking for an unmarried, you know, a divorcee with three kids.
So how did it work? How were you able to find common ground? And I mean, it's probably hard to speak for him, but stepping into this role where suddenly, like, he was at a time when a lot of his friends were out clubbing, and now he's sort of in this pseudo step parenting role temporarily until
I guess it's something you need to ask him a little bit more, but he's done a few podcasts on this because I think women are fast. I think in the beginning, women used to think, you know, I know the gossip was that I sort of somehow tied him down and he wasn't able to leave. And, you know, it was all me sort of latching onto this poor boy. But it's just not so, you know, really not so. It's the other way around. Like, he's desperate for all the steps that I'm not particularly desperate to do, you know, that I've done before. Like, he would like to have a family. He would like to get married. I, you know, they're all great things, but they're not things that are way on my priority list right now. So for him stepping into it, it's been really challenging because obviously some of the kids resisted it. Some, you know, we had a few ups and downs, but they all love him. He was so persistent. And I think he never took it to heart. Each day was a new day. So, you know, he could have my son could be hideous to him. And then the next day he would wake up. He never held it against them. He never brought it up again. You know, each day was fresh for him. He doesn't do that with me either, by the way. He's just not that guy. So, you know, the children just really have just, they just love him now. Why is he like this? I don't know. I think I found a unicorn. But the only thing I can put it down to was, I think, playing soccer for such a long time as a child. You know, you've got to remember, he was in the under 21s. Mm-hmm. But he traveled from the age of, you know, he started at 15 professionally, been playing since the age of 6. And I think he traveled so much by himself and grew up so quickly. And not to mention, you definitely did the girl thing. I think he bonked his brains out all the way through that, got bored of it. You know, he traveled. And I think I sort of signify stability in a home to him. Mm. I don't know. I can't tell you. But I mean, all I can tell you is it's not real. He's, mm-hmm. you know, you can't live the way we do in each other's pockets for 24 hours a day for just over 2 years now. You know, it's real.
And you mentioned that you weren't so much looking for marriage again, kids again. I saw on social media that you two have gotten engaged. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How did you wrap your head around that, considering that wasn't what you were thinking of before you met him, certainly, and coming out of a very long marriage to go into the idea of marriage again? How did you come to terms with that?
Obviously, when he asked me, I didn't know it was coming. I mean, I knew he wanted to, but I wasn't prepared for it. And, you know, when you talk about things, it's all like a bit like a fairy tale, isn't it? Until you're really faced with the question. And then I was like, oh, holy shit, here we go. You know, and then I just thought, I've taken the complexity out of life, which is all the things that I've told that I can't do and shouldn't do. And, you know, society tells you isn't possible, right? So a young guy like this can't fall in love with a 43-year-old woman. You can't get marriage is marriage is something that has to be forever and it's so binding and it's so scary. I took all that away because, you know, when I talk about it with Sergio, I just came up, took the scary out. And the scary for me, I think, or most people is, what is the worst? I always think, what's the worst case scenario? Okay, well, the worst case scenario is we get divorced in 5 years, right? Worst case. I've had a great 5 years. Who gives a shit? So what we decided to do was, I decided, and we talked about it, so we'd have an amazing prenup. Like, what is mine now, and what is his now. And anything we make together as a team, we split. And then, you know, what does it matter? Then it's just, then it becomes a party. It's a party and a promise to each other, right? That we're going to stay. And he really needs it and wants it as a young man who's going into that chapter of his life. He wants to feel, he doesn't want to be my boyfriend. He's sick of being called my toy boy. He wants to be my husband, and that's it. So, you know, why wouldn't I do it?
That certainly changes the conversation for a lot of people. But ultimately, I'm sure you're doing it for you and for him.
For us.
You mentioned your podcast. It's Divorced, Not Dead. A lot of our listeners are probably coming into this from having been divorced and maybe thinking, I never want to get married again. I never want to, I don't know how to date again. What advice do you have for them as they may be embarking on this journey and seeing where you are right now and not knowing the road to get there themselves?
Well, I think it's that attitude. We need to change I never to, like, you know, getting excited again. Like, you know, okay, that chapter closed. And that's what I always say, no matter what. And it got nasty at times with my ex-husband. But in general, every time he got nasty, I backed off and vice versa, you know, and we just let each other calm down. And then we get to a place of good again, right? So when you realize that, you know, you are going to do these things again. You know, the only person stopping you from doing all these things again is you. And your mindset. If you have a mindset where anything is possible and, you know, the, oh, that guy's, you know, just down the road, you know, my new husband is going to be down the road. Like, I see myself as starting my whole life again. It's crazy. I'm 44 years old and I'm about to relive. I get a do-over. Who gets to do-over? I'm going to do everything again, but with hindsight. How amazing is that?
Did you think, Caroline, at the time when you and Jem got divorced, did you see yourself falling in love again?
Well, I always hoped, you know, I think I was a romantic because I always watched the movies and I wanted that kind of love, but it wasn't any, I didn't care either way. And I think that's, I made peace with being alone. And I was like, because that was one of my main things. Can I be alone? How will I feel if in my house on my own? And then I realized I'm not going to be alone. I've got three kids. And then, you know, I'm totally fulfilled at work. I love what I do. So then I was like, okay, so I can do this. Nothing's going to change for me, actually, because if you're not really not in love anymore, you're not passionate with your partner, then really you're roommates anyway. And as it happened, I was moving, you know, I was going away on business. He was coming back. Then he went away. So it was, I was alone anyway. Nothing really changed for me, except he just wasn't living there when I got home, which meant that I had more of the TVs to myself.
That does sound glorious. Someone who's been in quarantine
great.
With my husband and two kids this whole time. That alone space sounds great to me, but I know there's a lot of people listening who are wanting to move out of that alone space and maybe just afraid of what that next step may be.
That word fear. And I just literally did a podcast yesterday about fear. Fear is the fear of the unknown. And, you know, unless you feel fear and walk into it, nothing amazing happens. Do you know how many people told me, don't leave my ex-husband, that the grass is not greener? The grass is pretty green. It really is green. You know, it's not greener if you're going to be a misery guts and sit at home and, you know, not pull your own big girl pants on, right? Mm-hmm. Some women, they don't, you know, they go into victim mode. They think the world owes them something that, you know, they don't want to work. They don't want to get real. They just want a cushy life and the man to take care of them. That doesn't exist anymore. That bubble has burst, right? So you need to take the fear out and say, and have a can-do attitude. And if you have a can-do attitude, that's pretty sexy to people and very sexy to men.
And I also heard you say on a recent episode of your podcast, you talked about like the shame and blame that goes with divorce. And I think if we're going along the progression, like there are the folks that don't want that lifestyle to change and stay in it for far too long. But then on the other side of it, when you start to point fingers, I imagine that makes it harder to be able to move on and be happy.
Well, I hate this. It's like, it really irritates me that to make people feel better, they have to point a finger at one of you and they have to blame one of the people for the breakup. They can't see how it could have happened over a long period of time, or, you know, that no one's to blame if you've been together as long as, you know, we all have. No one. And, you know, but it makes other people feel better to go, oh, it was her fault. She did this. He did that. You know, whatever it is. And I just think, yeah.
What about the way that you think of or speak of your ex? Like, you always really treat Jem with respect and respect for also the time that you had together, in that it's not that he's to blame. It's not that you're to blame. It's that it just was no longer working and you grew in different directions.
1,000%. And, you know, I still, no matter how much people want Jem and I to not speak and to be enemies, and because they don't agree with maybe the way I ended it or did it, you know, but I mean, I defy anyone to get it right, because you're knee deep in a shitstorm when you're in it. So you're just fighting to sort of stay afloat and do it. It doesn't come with a handbook. You're sort of floundering because you don't really know how to do it. You don't want to hurt someone, but you're hurting them. You put one foot in, then you pull back, and it's never right. You know, then if you don't do it in time, you're partying too much. You're going out of the house too much. You know, I was guilty, all these things. So, you know, there's no easy way. And I, God forbid that, you know, these people that are pointing and doing it in my shoes, you know, I defy anyone to do it better. There's nobody comes out of this smelling like roses, because it's just not possible. It's never a nice thing. But what is the best thing that's happened, and from my experiences, which is what I think the Divorce Not Dead has shared, maybe my mistakes with, like when I did one on boundaries and setting the rules earlier on, but Jem and I are in a great place now. We speak every single day regarding the children. It's very civil, very nice. Like, I ask him about how his work's going. You know, if he's traveling, I say I take the kids, or, you know, if I'm traveling now, he takes the kids every day. It's never a no. It's never a, oh, you know, it's just, we just get on with it. So it's perfect. I, you know, my kids tell me if he's got a girlfriend at home or whatever, you know, but I don't ask. He doesn't ask about, you know, oh, he's had dinner with me and Sergio. We've had dinner together.
How'd that go?
Yeah. Actually, I was super nervous. It was my daughter's birthday, but really well. And Jem invited him.
Wow.
It was great.
That's great that you've developed that open line of communication. And I imagine it probably does add another layer, Caroline, that you are a public figure, that a lot of your relationship played out on television, and then at the same time, now on social, it's not like we're in just such a different time where you couldn't, you know, before, you know, I had breakups where it was
you
just like,
hide things.
I never want to see you again and goodbye.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you can't do that because it's all out there.
Well,
do you ever struggle with that?
Yeah. Yes, that's a double-edged sword, because obviously, like, the bits that I don't like about the way I've handled it in some respects is how public and, you know, lovey-dovey me and Sergio are everywhere. But on the other hand, doing what I do for a living, that is how I make my money. Mm-hmm. That mine and Sergio's story has become such a thing for people, and a brand in a way, that I feel terrible for him, because I do try and, it's not lost on me. I do try and put my, you know, pretend I'm in his shoes and go, God, can you imagine if he'd run off with a girl that was 20 years younger, not run off. I mean, I'd broken up with him by then, but, you know, was with a girl 20 years younger than me and cavorting all over town. But luckily, really luckily, he does not follow me. I know that for a fact because he never brings anything up. So the only time he's ever brought stuff up is when he said other people have like screenshotted it and sent it to him, which is just always amazing to me. People can't just mind their own business. They love to stir the shit, especially when they know you're in a good place. But yeah, that's the only regret I have because I don't want to hurt him. But my brand and my image with Sergio now, we are a team. And that, unfortunately, is social media and what I'm doing. You know, Divorce Not Dead came because of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you are just living your life, and the sharing of your life is part of what you do, and it's all part of your story. So, for those of our listeners who are divorced, not dead, and wanting to date again, wanting to find this kind of relationship again, any final words of wisdom on what, like, tangible steps they can take to begin the process of finding love again, especially now that COVID is sort of turning a corner and things are going to be opening up soon, and they may not be able to hide behind that, like, that the fear of, like, getting out there, being in the world. It's going to happen. We talked about FODA a few weeks ago, fear of dating again. But now that we're advice for the divorced folks.
Well, my girlfriend, was telling me this morning, and it's so true, by the way, just a little story, a side note. She was saying that she's just stopped dating too, because of course, with COVID and restrictions, you have to meet at home, at her personal home. And she's like, I can't bear it. I hate it. I hate bringing people here to date. And she's right. Awful.
It's very intimate.
Really too intimate, right? For a first date. You're inviting someone into your house. They're expecting something, I'm sure, too early. Dating now. Get rid of the list. The list is the worst thing you can have. You know, try and stop putting parameters on what you would look for. So money, because I believe rich or poor, if you're a power couple, you can become a power couple. If you're motivated and you're both, you know, you both want the same things, you motivate each other and you can both make money at the end of the day. Sometimes people are in different parts of their lives. It doesn't have to define where they are, where they're going to be for the rest of their lives. Age is but a number, as long as it's legal. I would say, you know,
somebody who is like 18? No. There's a limit. Is there like,
well, I mean, I'm at the limit. Okay. I'm at the limit. I don't think I would have, but you've got to remember when I met Sergio, he was 24. Mm-hmm. He's 26. You know, like, I didn't know that. He'd lied. He said he was 31. So
Sergio.
Yes. But you know, there you go. I wouldn't have given, he's right. He said, you wouldn't have looked at me or given me the chance. And he's absolutely right. I wouldn't have given him the chance. If he'd told me on that night that he was 24 years old, I'd gone, go home, little boy.
So a little bit of healthy bending the truth is okay.
Well, I mean, I don't know. But I mean, I'm not saying go. I wouldn't even suggest normally going for a 20. Sergio's literally a unicorn. I don't know what's wrong with him. Maybe he'll wake up at some point. But what I mean is, widen your age bracket a little bit.
Yes, I agree with you.
You know, like, don't stifle yourself. Religion, all of these things, open yourself up to falling in love with the person, because everything else is easy. It really is. It's finding that person that's so hard. And then just attitude, you know, stop looking for red flags and look for green flags. That was something I learned from somebody, and I love that. Look for things, positives in people, not negatives in people. You know, so many times we focus on the wrong things when someone walks through the door and we don't give them a chance, like, you know, what they're wearing, their shoes, their watch. You know, we look for things to sort of tell us who the person is rather than talking to the actual person. Because again, I've learned along the way, you know, lots of men are what I call fixer-uppers. Mm-hmm. We can fix them. You know, they just need the love of a good woman.
And yes, I relate to that. Mine certainly was.
And then tangible things to do. Well, I still believe in dating apps. I think, you know, some of them are good. Like, you know, dating agencies, not apps so much, because I think those are too much sex, you know, geared to sex. But like finding like hand-picked ones, which is really what I'm thinking to do. And then, you know, going to things like golf courses, places where, you know, men hang out. Think about going to places where you could meet people that's a little bit out of the way that you, you know, like, as I said, going, I like adventure holidays. Men love adventure holidays. Going to the golf course, going to a different restaurant. Don't do your normal things, you know, make, go out of state, go to a different bar that you maybe not been to before. I, you know, all of these things, put yourself out there. And always, always, always get dressed and put some makeup on, because when you go to the park or you're walking your dog, that's probably where you're going to meet the guy.
Yes. I've said that before, like break up your routine, do something different. You know, if, like the definition of insanity is doing the same thing, expecting different results, right? So you have to break it up. I will say I have gotten some heat on the show before when I've said like, put, you know, make sure that you're open all the time and that you put your best foot forward. And then people are like, well, what do you mean? Like, I have to always like dress up like for, you know, the man's gaze, which, you know, I don't necessarily believe that. But I think you resonate a different energy when you've put time into feeling your
yourself.
Right.
That's exactly it. It's not for the guy. But the moment, if you meet the hottest guy and you feel like shit on the walk because you've just woken up, you haven't brushed your hair, and you're in tracksuit with, you know, some child, you know, your child's vomit on it, you are not going to be as open to having this amazing conversation with someone. I'm talking about doing it for you, not for him. You know, right. I believe, and I've just done a podcast on this, selfish is the new black. Because self-care and being selfish means that everyone, if you're happy, everyone around you is happy. That's what it means. You know, like if you feel good about yourself, then you can go out and get that job. You can go out and get that man. You can go and get, you know, the life that you want. But if you don't, you become introverted. You know, you won't take the same chances. If you feel when you get up in the morning like you are a supermodel, then you are a supermodel. That's it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love how you phrase that too. Like you have to take some chances. Sometimes you have to risk, but as I can see from your fabulous life, the risk is often worth the reward.
Well, the biggest risk in life is not taking a risk.
Those are perfect, perfect words to end this on. Thank you so much for being here, Caroline. I hope everyone here is now feeling inspired to get back out there. And
yes, girls.
Even if you're divorced, you are not dead. Definitely check out Caroline's podcast. Anything else you want to tell our listeners about?
No. Thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed it. It was great.
Thank you. I'll put a link to Caroline's podcast, Divorced Not Dead, in the show notes. Make sure you check out my recent episode of the show. And after this break, I will answer your questions like what to do if your husband can't stop soaking and how to date if you're an American in Israel. I'm sure there's like a TV movie to be made about that, but we will do the first act of that right after this.
Dear Damona, help me.
Welcome back. The questions have been pouring in, and y'all, I appreciate all the detail. They are juicy, juicy questions, really deep, in-depth questions. And I love that you are trusting me with your love life. I love hearing from you. I especially love when you send me the voice memos, because then I can really hear the question in your voice. You'll hear one of those in a minute. But first, we got an email from a listener who says, I just listened to the episode with Rich Jozwiak. Excellent episode if y'all haven't heard it. His discussion on pot use and how it can impact relationships hit home with me. My husband and I would party together in college and smoke pot. After we got married and had kids, I stopped smoking weed because I found it didn't work well with parenting. I hear you right there, sister. My husband never stopped. And now it's an issue between us. He stays home with the kids while I'm at work. It really bothers me that he's high when home alone with the kids. What if there's an emergency? We've talked about it many times. He refuses to stop. He refuses to get help. He refuses to get couples counseling, yet he maintains that he loves me and cares for me and my desires. I want to support him. I took my vows seriously. When he's not high or drunk, he's amazing. Rich said it's okay to leave a relationship if philosophies about pot are vastly different, but it's not that simple. I can't just walk away from a 10-year relationship with kids. Help. Wow, this is a very serious situation, and you are really at a relationship crossroads. So I'm not going to sugarcoat this for you. And what I'm about to say might be hard to hear. But based on what you've told me, it sounds like your husband, unfortunately, is an addict. He is addicted to drugs. He is, you mentioned that he's often drunk. This is a real problem in a relationship. And aside from it being a problem in the relationship, it's probably a problem in his life. I see you're also the breadwinner. So I don't know if his drug or alcohol abuse has affected his ability to provide for your family, but that is definitely a concern. And he has to get help for this. You're completely right. And as a parent, I can say, look, parenting is not a half-ass situation. And it's not done well when you cannot be fully present. And as a parent, I can say I would be very concerned if I knew that my husband was always high or drunk with the kids. So you're not crazy. You're not wrong about having these concerns. The problem is you cannot change someone if they don't want to change themselves. And it sounds like you've already brought this up many times, and it needs to be brought to a head in some way for him to take action. So I don't believe in staying in a relationship because you've already invested 10 years or for the kids or for those fleeting moments when he is his old self and you feel like the way you used to feel when you're with him. You said he's great when he's not high. But if he's high all the time, then it sounds like he's not that great right now. And I've had this situation with clients before, too, where they really had to give a boundary. And sometimes the boundary, as painful and difficult as it is, sometimes that boundary is, I can't stay. I need to go. I need to take my kids and make sure that they are safe and taken care of. And that is, I know, unbelievably difficult. But it might be the boundary that he needs to actually pull it together and change his life. There might be other ways that you can force him to get help for the kids and for you. There might be other people in your life that you can, that have his ear in a different way, that maybe he has a parent who he would listen to or a friend that would be able to present the option of counseling or the option of, an inpatient or outpatient program, but you can't live like this anymore. You've had many conversations about this, and literally it is life or death. And literally your kid's future is on the line here. So you have a very difficult choice to make, but you have a choice. And that's what I just really want to leave you with and remind you. You always have a choice. And even though you might be choosing between two very difficult and very uncomfortable options, you have to do ultimately what is best for yourself and your kids. So I really hope that he's able to hear you and that he's able to get help, at the very least go to couples counseling or go to counseling for himself, because it sounds like he has some pain that he has to process. And, you know, as much as a partner can really help us get our lives on track, it has to come from within. And I wish you a lot of luck in whatever the next phase is for the two of you. Okay, our next question is a voice memo. This one from Meryl.
Hi, Damona. Good morning. I'm located in Tel Aviv, Israel, and I'm American. Like I said, I'm living in a big city, and the dating life here is worse than LA or New York for sure. Not only am I an English speaker speaking a different language, and I'm from America, there's a lot of cultural differences, like, and they don't take me seriously a lot because I'm an English speaker. I give up very easily when there's a lot of red flags. When they're not serious, I tell them straight up how I am. I'm serious. I'm looking for an exclusive relationship. So I want to hear your thoughts on this.
All right, Meryl, even though you are in Tel Aviv and the cultures are a little bit different in different countries, what I would say to you is that there are some universals in dating apps all over the world. And the first thing I would tell you is that not all dating apps are created equal. So there are apps that are more for relationship minded and there are apps that are more for hookups. Of course, you've heard me say on the show before that it's also how you use the app. But in general, there are probably more casual relationship people on Tinder. I'm not saying it's the hookup app and everybody there is looking for a hookup. I'm just saying you might have to work a little bit harder to filter because the barrier for entry is so low. So I think you need to maybe try a different app. I actually called my friend Jessica Fass, who is a matchmaker who works in Los Angeles and in Israel. She matches people internationally and within each of those cities. And she gave me some tips.
Hi, this is Jessica Fass, the head matchmaker and founder of Fast Pass to Love. I lived in Tel Aviv, Israel myself from 2011 to 16, and I usually go back every year on business. And I know it very well, and I feel your pain about Israeli men. And don't worry, you're not alone. I don't believe it's just an Israel problem. I believe that it is a worldwide issue. Wherever you live in big cities, whether it's in the US or Israel or Europe, Latin America, wherever you are in the world, I deal with people every day who come to me and tell me that there are no good men where they live, that the guys are all players. The men I found in Israel live in the suburbs. And the ones that I was in long distance relationships with always lived in the suburbs and had to drive about 30 minutes to come see me. So I would suggest going on dating apps and opening your filter to outside Tel Aviv, Rehovot, Holon, Givatayim, because the big cities are where people come to play and go out a lot. Good things come to those who wait. And sometimes when it's a little bit more difficult to meet up during the week because there's a little bit of distance and travel time and you have to only see each other twice a week, it's much healthier than seeing each other all the time, which is, I know what how people date in Tel Aviv is they go on a date every single day in the row with the same person because it's so easy to meet up because it's such a small city. But sometimes having a little bit of distance can be helpful because it can slow the dating process down. All the best. Lila Toe from Los Angeles.
You have to really streamline your profile and your screening and filtering process to make sure that you get the right possible options in your dating pool and that you're not wasting a lot of time with time wasters. So first, you got to say up front in your profile, seeking a relationship. And I know it can be a little anxiety producing to just put it out there and feel like, well, what if I scare somebody away because they're not interested in that? But you have to remember that if they're not interested in that and they've been scared away, that's actually the goal. You only want the people who are not scared of being in a relationship because that is what your goal is. The other thing I would say is to make sure that you're doing a tight screening process. Don't get caught up in the texting trap, sending messages back and forth. Do not engage with them after 10 p.m. Remember, you're like, they're like gremlins, you know, like nothing good happens after 10 p.m. So don't feed them after that. Like, don't feed them messages. Don't feed them dates in the early phase. No same day dates. Like, that's usually when short-term dating thinking is demonstrated, like, hey, you available now? Yeah, you're not available now because you're a relationship-minded woman and you have plans for the future and you have plans for the week, okay? So always schedule your dates with at least 24 hours out and really be clear. Like, don't be afraid to share upfront what your relationship goals are, even on the dates. And I think if you go back and you look at patterns, this is one of my favorite things to do, to really like look at the commonality between the matches that you've had and like look at their profiles again if you're still matched with them and see if you can identify any commonalities. Maybe it's the masculine facial features you can look for, or maybe it's certain keywords that you see repeated in their profiles or styles of photos. Try to find the pattern and then you can apply it in dating the next time on the app or on your different app that you end up trying out and see if you see any of those symbols or signs again. And I almost challenge you to just test it out and see if you're right about that being a signifier. Because there's always a path. There's always a signal. The challenge is being attuned to actually look out for it and recognize it when it comes up, and then to behave accordingly, to know that if that person shows themselves to not be reliable or to not be relationship minded, that it's okay to let that possible connection go. And that doesn't mean that you're going to be single forever. It means that you're not going to waste time with the wrong people, because, you know, you say that you're getting kind of exhausted with it. And that is the exact thing that leads to exhaustion, investing time and energy into the wrong people. I hope you have enjoyed episode 358 of Dates and Mates. Don't forget, we will put the link to all of the Dating Dish stories in the show notes, and you can check out the episode recaps at datesandmates.com. I am at Damona Hoffman on all the socials. I'd love to get a DM from you. Yes, you. I would love to hear what's on your mind, and I love to get a voice memo especially. And if you need a little more support and love, I invite you to come inside the community of supportive singles that we have built on Patreon, patreon.com/datesandmates. That's my Friends with Benefits Club. You get weekly live streams with me. You get other exclusive content, and you can get in the club for just $5 at patreon.com/datesandmates. I'll be back again next week with Preeti Joshi. She is an executive at Bumble who's going to be telling us about data-driven tips on how to optimize your Bumble profile for more matches. Until then, I wish you happy dating.